Hey, this is Kevin from Kevin's Barbecue Joints, and welcome to Kevin's Barbecue Joints Podcast. And welcome to 21 Questions with Blake Stoker from Blake's at Southern Milling in Martin, Tennessee.
And you have your favorite hat on.
Yeah, the trusty. I've got one work one that I should have retired or cleaned a while ago. It's nothing, but it's not nasty. It's just barbecue nasty, you know, lots of residual brisket grease and stuff like that. Then I've got one that I wear... like that I wore to Texas that's not to be worn at work. So like there's work shoes and not work shoes. Obviously a work shirt. I wear this shirt every Monday. It's cold in the kitchen whenever the warmer, you know, because I mean, I'm typically the only one in the main kitchen on Monday. And there's no other body heat, warmers, oven, stove, all that stuff is turned off. So it stays pretty cold. So I have to wear a long sleeve. So this is literally, I had some dudes in the kitchen a couple Mondays ago and they're like, I've seen you trim, you know, I've been in here seeing you trim briskets 1,000 times. You've had that shirt on every time.
So. You clean it, but it just stays stained. And
oh, yeah. It feels great. It looks terrible.
That's cool. How are you doing?
Good. So far, so good. I have nothing to complain about. Just trimming briskets and drinking coffee.
It's just great to see you in general.
I'm sorry we don't keep up. I'm just literally never. I'm on my phone at like 5:30 a.m. and like 11 p.m. when I sit down to eat supper. I'll go through my phone on Sunday and like sift through all the texts that I have, you know, 3 and 4 days old. I back to everybody eventually. I'll say that. It's not like it's like I mean there's people with a lot deeper inboxes. I'm never just like on my phone just I wonder, I've got time to check a bunch of text messages and get into also my phone, my keyboard. Barely, it works at like 10% capacity, so it's very difficult. Like, only start, I need to go get a new phone, but then again, I tell myself there's no time to, which I mean, although going to get a new phone is quite, I don't know how it is in California, but around here, it's a time commitment. It could happen in 35, 45 minutes, or it could be 3-4 hours.
I just got a new phone, and because my phone just died. Like, it just died, and it took me, I think, 2 hours and 20 minutes or so.
Yeah, I just can't. There's something else I could be doing productive, you know?
Well, what I did was, for my mom, is I ordered the phone, I filled it all out online, and had it shipped, and I just set it up at home, because it was just not worth going to the mall for that long of time. Yeah, it's just not worth it. So that kind of bleeds into how I wanted to start this was, how has this last year been? And because it's different, your life is different than when you had the trailer. How has this last year been?
It's been mostly awesome. Awesome at its core, but different in that the headache factor has been exponentialized times 1,000. I knew that would be the case, and I knew I wouldn't, just like I told you back in the day, I didn't know what it'd be like opening a barbecue trailer until I got into the weeds of doing it. But this is a totally new ball game. Luckily, I have great people in place mitigate my direct. I do intend to and want to 99 out of 100 times hear about everything and, you know, be in on the decision, or at least hear what the decision, you know, was that was made by a manager or whatever. But got a, you know, a great GM, Whitney, that handles, bless her heart, and actually sent her the clip of what Evan said about, if you're crazy if you think you can just be a barbecue cook and open a place. You know, it takes a food-sided person and then a business-sided person. Almost, they both need to have their hands in each side and have some knowledge. But she and my mom are certainly the books, you know, the tax, the bank, the accounting side, making sure all that stuff's organized, the costing out, and making sure, you know, the book side is taken care of. And then me, Libby, the rest are, you know, I try to have my hand in everything and be knowledgeable about everything, but you know, I'm still a food guy, not able to do as much directly with the cook and the barbecue. And I still, you know, get my hands in it every once in a while and, you know, still can do it. But just due to the breadth of everything, I'm not able to, you know, I'm not hands-on cooking briskets or ribs.
That'd be impossible.
Right. It's just not physically not possible. I did it for about 7 weeks. The first 7 weeks we were open were physically not good and just about wore myself down. And then, you know, we started changing things. And I got backed off of that. And ever since, we've just built a team that are able to, I mean, to be honest with you, me and Libby could leave for 6 weeks and the food be the same. You know what I mean?
Oh, so that's important. That's great.
Absolutely. Now, I have no intention of doing that. I'm still here. If we're open, I'm here. Not because I have to be, but just because I want to be and I want to be as helpful as I can be. You know, for instance, at the end of the night, I mean, I stay here till not close, but I mean, close of service, not close of shutting the kitchen down. I stay to the end of the night. And a lot of times, even if we're not busy, I tell the guys in the kitchen or the guys and the gals, use me right now. I will handle the food side of this. Y'all start doing what you can do to help yourselves get out of here 20, 30, 45 minutes, you know, earlier than if I were to skip out and y'all were getting a ticket once every 6 or 8 minutes and having to stop filtering the oil and mopping and all that stuff. So I try to be just as helpful as I can in helping other people, you know, get in, get out, be efficient, both for labor reasons and just for quality of life. I mean, I'm sure if I can help get them out of here at 10:45 p.m. versus 11:15 p.m. on a Wednesday night, then, you know, it's nothing on me to stay an extra 15, 30 minutes to help do that, you know.
Yeah. How big is your staff?
It ebbs and flows, but I mean, on payroll, we still have about 60, but I mean, I would say active employees, which we get school, college just ended. So a lot of our college, mostly girls, you know, work front of house, that hadn't been able to work very much either, go to school, either started with us in the summer last year and then went to school an hour or two or three away. And now they're back home, or just folks that went to UTM and didn't have time on their plate to work as well. So they've started, you know, trickling back in.
What was the largest amount of people you had working at the trailer at one time?
Like six, I would say.
So now tenfold at least.
Yeah, true.
I know you had envisioned what this would be like prior to it opening. And we talked, I think, almost like a week or two before it opened. Mm-hmm. Does it feel like how you imagined?
Yes, but then again, you never know. I didn't really know what to expect, besides it would be a lot, and it has been a lot.
What's special to you? What's the most special thing to you about Blake's at Southern Milling?
To me, there's, I can break it down into three, and I do this often, break it down into three or four elements. You got the mystique of the building, and it draws people in. They have no idea, know nothing about Blake's Barbecue prior to this or anything about the food. They just, you know, could be driving by or see a picture of it on the internet and they go, oh, that looks like a destination to go to. So you've got the building, you've got the food side, the barbecue fair, you know, the Blake's Barbecue bleeding into what we have now, which is a much more exciting menu of in-house ground smash burgers out of our brisket trim, Nashville hot chicken tenders, salads, you know, an arrangement of just ever-growing.
I have a list of things I'm going to bombard you with later on that. Yeah,
right. The sandwich stuff, the brunch menu. So, you know, the major food fair, seriously, the bakery section, our Morgan Simmons Goodman, our bakery at Southern Milling, her desserts are what we talked about before. And, you know, I used to send you pictures whenever we first got her hired and all that stuff. It's absolutely come tenfold more into fruition than I could have even imagined. She is everything I thought she would be. Her product is, I'd put her up against anybody me and you know mutually and could talk about. I'm not saying she's better.
It looks so good.
She's unbelievable.
And I have a list of questions on the bakery too, because that's a huge component.
Unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, there's people, and I don't blame them at all. There's people that come just, you know, women that'll come in and just get pimento cheese, you know, by the pint, and it's not cheap. There's people that come in and just get coffee and cheesecake or coffee and whatever cake or pie that they it had, but hadn't had in a while, and then it comes back. Like this key lime pie she's had lately, I had no idea the key lime pie was such a sensation. And hers, I mean, everybody eats it, says, I've been eating key lime pie for 20 or 40 or 75 years, and this is the best I've ever had.
Awesome.
And the amount of times I see whole key lime pie come across the ticket board is unbelievable. I mean, there's Thursdays where I see two to four whole key lime pies, and also they're not cheap. I mean, it's not cheap to eat these days, so people come and spending money here are spending money and, you know, by their choice. So it's,
and buy an entire pie, that says something. That,
oh yeah, it's incredible and just ever changing. She's a joy to work with and just a joy to watch prosper.
Yeah, I guess we can kind of meander into that. So how many things does she like? Are there consistent items within the bakery, and then there's specials and things that are seasonal? Or?
Yes, every single day we have her cheesecake. Just I guess a New York style cheesecake, but it's completely scratch made. A graham cracker and pecan piece, you know, crushed pecans base of the crust, and then she just works her magic throughout the whole thing. I don't know. I'm trying to think. I used to know the exact number on what she was going through a week, but it's a lot. So we have cheesecake every day, a cookie of some sort, usually chocolate chip. She dished out some snickerdoodles on Saturday. So we'll probably start having snickerdoodle again for a little while. The rest is mostly ever changing between chocolate cake. She's had strawberry cake the last week or two. Actually, I had mom's birthday was May 6th. So I had her make a little mini strawberry.
Happy birthday. That's so nice.
I will.
Coconut cream pie. Like the things I've listed are there's pecan pie.
Derby pie. We had that during the Derby week era. The chocolate chippy things. Little cupcakes, you know, assorted cupcakes. I mean, the list goes on. Buttermilk pie, chocolate chess pie, butterfinger pie.
So she has her own specific area, right?
Yeah, she has her sort of own end of the kitchen, sort of down at the end of the line with her own workspace. We just got her a new, not industrial size, but bigger than what you would have in your house, typically a refrigerator, freezer, because that's still a thing. Like at the trailer, it is here too. We've got a huge walk-in and all this refrigerator, freezer space, and we're buying. And as soon as we find a new spot to stick in the freezer or fridge, we're doing it. So,
but what's your favorite dessert item?
I'll be honest with you, I'm not a sweets person, period. Like, they just don't. What fires me up is obvious, and you would even know this, fried chicken of any sort, either like bone-in thighs and legs or our Nashville hot tenders, General Tso's chicken, wings, occasional wings. I had wings last night for the first time in a while. I just go through little spurts of that. Pizza.
I was going to say that.
Fried chicken and pizza is my diet. I'm being honest with you. Get more and more. I sort of ebbed out of Mexican for a while. You know, I used to get those burritos all the time. I lost access to them because I was here all the time and couldn't just drive to Union City, you know, 10, 15 minutes away. Recently, I've gotten back more into a taste for Mexican. So quesadillas, burritos, nachos, stuff like that. I'm sure we'll talk about this, but like on our menu, like our patty melt, I get a brisket grilled cheese or a patty melt. So, you know, still therein lies tote, bread, cheese. My favorite thing on the menu is our patty melt, add brisket. So just literally our smash burger patty, Texas toast, cheese, grilled onions. And then I add like a quarter pound of brisket, chopped brisket on top.
Oh.
It's my recommendation anytime anybody, like, for instance, my buddy that came to work for us and went to Texas with me right after he came to work for us. I'd never really met him before, but we just hit it off. And he's the one I've talked to cut. So he's the one that allows me to, when we're staffed up enough in the kitchen, allows me to walk around and take care of other stuff or fill in another position or cook or pit staff needs rest or whatever. I've been telling him, you've got to try patty melt out of brisket. He was very skeptical. It took me like 10 weeks to get him to do it. He got one at 2 p.m. on his break on Wednesday or Thursday, and he immediately came back and said, arguably the best thing I've ever eaten in my life. And it took me that long. He's like, the next day he's like, I'm going to try not to because I don't need to, but I really want to get one again for lunch today. So anyways, you know.
So is the patty melt on the menu all the time?
Patty melt is, and the patty melt add brisket is okay. Just it. Add on, you know, like a la carte add on.
I love that. No, can you add turkey?
Okay. As you probably saw that sandwich last week, literally it was a Nashville hot chicken tender grilled cheese topped with a second layer. You know, it was bread, cheese, meaning toasted Texas toast bread, cheese, Nashville hot tenders, cheesy toast again, then topped with a brisket grilled cheese, add pimento cheese. So it's literally, we had somebody order one on Saturday. Like they saw it on it, they asked about it, and that the server came, they asked their server came back to me and was like, they're wanting to know about that thing you put on Instagram. And I'm like, tell them it's probably going to be like a $25 sandwich, but yeah, we'll make it, sure. And it was literally probably 6 or 7 inches tall.
Oh, that's so great.
Crazy. I don't know how you'd physically eat it, but
that's a shit. You kind of tear it apart and share, right? Kind of.
Yeah, crazy. But man, I'm sure it's good. But
so for the first timer, that, because I'm sure you guys get a lot of first timer, what would you recommend they order, platter wise or dish wise? Or
it depends on how ambitious. Say you, Andrew, Daniel, and Bert came, something like that.
That'd be fun.
That would be awesome. Let's do that. I mean, obviously, you're gonna have to get whatever appropriate amount of brisket, turkey, ribs. I would probably do y'all a pound, three quarters of a pound of fatty, half pound of lean, half pound of turkey, half pound of pork, four pork ribs, skip sausage. We still don't make sausage in house, so it's the least thing I care about on the menu. A couple of Nashville hot tenders, a bubba cole to cut into quarters, a brisket patty melt, or a patty melt add brisket split into quarters, a side of Brussels sprouts, a side of, wait, you're already getting, yeah, pimento cheese and crackers.
Smoked cream cheese?
Yeah, okay, smoked cream cheese.
What is that?
Literally, we get these big, huge blocks of cream cheese in, cut them into 8 ounce loaves, you know, for lack of better terms. Just score them across the top, you know, crosshatch score, season them with our Blake's Blend house seasoning that goes on that. Used to go on our house chips before we 86 the house chips and went to tortilla chips because I was tired of seeing people ordering loaded chips. Not just me, but I was the one that raised the question of, hey, are we ready to get rid of these? People liked them, but they just kind of threw me off. But it goes on our dry rub chicken wings, and then just smoke it. And then we serve it, smoke it in little miniature cast irons. Okay. So it's served, you know, on that, on our smallest tray with a liner on it, and then cast iron with the loaf of smoked cream cheese. We drizzle hot honey, which all hot honey, we make it in-house. All it is honey with crushed red pepper on it, and then serve it with the crackers. And people, I mean, on a Saturday, we go through 90 to 100, 110, however many we make. And it's also not cheap, but people just can't get enough of it.
Sounds well. I love cream cheese. Cream cheese in general is great. So, whose idea was that?
That was actually Whitney, RG. Yeah. Kudos to her on that. It's been a huge seller. Yeah, that was her way back, you know, in sort of our menu development several months before we opened. I wasn't skeptical of it selling. I was skeptical of how feasible it would be to produce in scale, you know, in volume. But we, Pit Crew, Libby and them have a process, and it's cake, you know, so.
Wow.
It works.
It looks really interesting. Like when I was going through the menu again to talk to you, I saw that and I thought, you know, I've seen photos. Is this what I'm seeing? And so, okay, that's what it is. It's that, you know, rectangular.
That would be on the sampler, you know, platter I would be able to go to. So basically, as far as sides go, pimento cheese and crackers, smoked cream cheese, which comes with crackers, Brussels sprouts.
Deviled eggs?
Deviled eggs, yeah. Slaw is pretty, it's a vinegar slaw. It's pretty special, I guess. Not special, nothing special about it, but people really like it. So I think it would be a good one. And then you'd have to finish with dessert. It would depend on what we had. I think ideally, it would be, if it was summertime, we'd have cheesecake and not lemon icebox, but key lime pie, and get, you know, which they're large slices, so a slice of each of those for y'all to share, and that would probably be the tray.
Gosh, when I am able to come, I plan on like staying 2 or 3 days, just because I'd like to stop just to try different things, stop by, and also be able to enjoy some time with you, even though you'll be busy. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can block out time, you know, with a heads up, and I can make that happen. But yeah, what I love about the menu here is you could eat here. You could literally eat here. We're open Wednesday through Saturday, and I firmly know that you could eat here lunch and supper 4 days a week in a row. And never, now, of course, we don't have any Asian cuisine or really Mexican, but now we do have, you know, tortilla chips and cheese dip. So you can, you know, make you, you know, we serve nachos like that. But you could literally eat here 4 days a week, 2 meals a day, and never dip your toes into the feeling like you're eating the same food.
You know, that's fantastic.
You could get a smash burger and fries for lunch on Wednesday, come back that night and get a chicken tender salad. You can come the next day and get a rib plate with Brussels sprouts and mac and cheese for lunch. Come back that night and get smoked wings and fried pickle chips. You come back the next day and get a Bubba Cole for lunch, you know, and a slice of cheesecake. Then come back that, you know, the list goes on.
Yeah,
So,
that's great. Can you, even though we've talked a million times and I've even written things about it, can you explain for people that are that don't know what's a Bubba Cole?
So it's brioche. Preferably, we try to toast our buns. Sometimes whenever we're just, you know, really, really rolling, but they're always hot, you know, and steamy. But sometimes we don't get them toasted every time, yeah. which I do try to. But brioche, a layer of brisket, a layer of turkey. Most times it's usually turkey and then brisket. I feel like the sandwich holds up a little better like that. Sort of like pickles are best, you know, for texture and all, and structure of the sandwich as far as a bite through. So brioche, turkey, brisket. I personally think brisket belongs best on it as a sandwich, chopped. Texturally, I feel like it does. So most time it's chopped. Pimento cheese, a big heaping scoop of pimento cheese, and then brioche top. And you can add pickles, pickled onions, jalapenos, whatever you want to. You could add, I'm a big fan of adding grilled onions to everything. I think grilled onions put everything over the top. So that's it.
Named after
Bubba Kelly, who's our construction contractor with Color Shop Construction, and then co-partner of Truth, and then Leroy and Lewis now.
How has the reaction been for people that were regulars of the barbecue trailer coming here?
Pretty much every one of them that were true regulars at the trailer or regulars here, just like they were there, or even more so. Yeah, I've been very glad to see that. I was a little bit scared of that, you know, at the beginning or before we're open. If you come at peak time, you know, lunchtime, 12:15, once you get your order placed, we're probably going to have your whatever it is, even if it's a burger. We're going to have your burger or brisket plate or Bubba Cole or whatever it is out in 2 to 8 minutes, you know, so in and out.
How does it feel? I want to talk about the pit team and Libby for sure, but how does it feel in the kitchen when things are really rolling and stuff? Does it feel like now it's probably comfortable because it's been a year, but how? Other times where you're like, I can't believe this is my place. does it feel like when things are moving, there's 8, 10, 12 people in the kitchen, like, is it, and there's people coming and the expediters, like, what does that feel like? Or do you not think about it?
As you mentioned, I think about it less now because it's just so part of daily life. But I mean, yeah, in theory, looking at it like right now, like on a Saturday night with a 2, 2.5, 3 hour wait, whatever the crap that means. I don't know how that happens, but you know, with 130, 140 seats and butts and seats in here that we're feeding, and you know, a 2 hour wait, and we're just flowing and things are rolling right, and you know, we're throwing out ticket times, you know, in 8 to 14 minutes, which with that full of a restaurant, I mean, think about that. You don't go to many places and get at a sit down restaurant, you know, you that full and get, so when everything's are really flowing right, we're listening to music, whether it's Conway Twitty or Turnpike Troubadours or Queen or Billy Joel or Whiskey Myers or Elton John or whatever, you know, it can be Dixie Chicks, just a whole array of stuff. It feels really, really good. My temperament is that of something with no temperament at all. Although I am trying to get myself in 2023, I've quit cussing. If I cuss, it's because something was really, really hot, which as you can imagine, something has to be really hot for it to burn me, or I like stub my toe real bad or something like that. But I just told myself that was one of my resolutions. I'm like, I'm just going to quit cussing, which I didn't think I would. That was kind of a joke, but I actually have.
Well, good for you. That's 5 months in. That's good.
Yeah. Oh, it took, it was once I decided, it was like a 6-day process. Just completely went from, I'm kidding, but probably 80 a day to zero. So it's been cool.
Are there ever moments where, you know, how we always have these moments where we kind of step back outside of ourselves and go, this is all this. Yeah.
Pretty bizarre. Yeah, it's pretty bizarre to, you know, yeah, it's pretty bizarre overall to think this is real. It's not near as glamorous as people think, but what I want to do and what the dream was, it's just not always as dreamy. It's mostly not as dreamy as it looks on Facebook or Instagram, but that's everybody, you know?
or the movies, or like the there's a couple of shows that show the real truth, but otherwise, yeah, it's not glamour. It's a job nonetheless.
A lot of headaches, a lot of water heaters breaking and air units not working.
Can you talk about Libby? I've been trying, you know, off and on. We've been trying to do an interview, which we will someday, but can you talk about Libby?
So she's been with me since 2020, I guess. Came with zero barbecue experience. You know, started training at the trailer, and I was not a very good trainer because I was still very, very stubborn and letting go. But she worked herself through my stubbornness and with me. And is now just literally as world-class of a barbecue cook. I mean, I'd put her up against anybody, period. She's great. She different from me, and I've gotten to be a better teacher and more understanding that you have to let go and that other people are just as capable, if not more capable, of doing what I do than myself easily. She is a great teacher and can get tangential with, you know,
oh, that's
just teaching. So she's been a really good teacher and has developed a team, you know, of, well, it's changed recently with some internship taking, and we lost one, but she's just a really good teacher and is good at developing them to a point where they can handle stuff. And we're just sort of passing the torch down to, you know, sort of take ourselves out of having to be in the equation. But she's great. And me and her get along like brother and sister that, you know, get along very well and laugh and cut up and, you know, we both have bad days or whatever, but we're always there for each other. And
how many pits do you guys have? And what I think is interesting, and I think I'm not disparaging any of the big pit builders or small pit builders, but you guys made, or you had those made by people that you know, right?
Mm-hmm. So you got the 2 500 gallons that I've had since 2015 that I started cooking on and had at Blake's Barbecue all the way, you know, all through the years, 2016 through 2022. And then whenever we moved here, we had 2 1,000-gallon pits built, same style, Franklin style, you know, essentially the same as the 500s, which were built, you know, modeled after Franklin's book. So we've got 2 1,000s and the 500s. Now, the difference is the 500s all the way through the early years had like 8-inch stacks on them. Now those stacks are 20 feet tall. I said 8-inch. I meant 8-inch pipe, but 8 feet tall as well. They might have been 10. Honestly, now they're so tall that I don't even remember the old number. But now the 500-gallon stacks are 20 feet. So, you know, the outside of the building looks like a chip coming from the north. And then the 1,000-gallon smokers have 22 feet long stack. And you can't even – so one of the things I was worried about moving down here and having a pit room set up like that is the pipes go, the stacks go out of the ceiling and you cannot see the top of the smokestack. Whereas all the way through the years cooking prior to here, I always paid a lot of attention to the smoke, you know, looking for dirty smoke, all that stuff. Well, now they draw so hard, we hardly could burn dirty. I've never once seen dirty smoke or smelled dirty smoke in this room because it just draws so hard. We're not as dependent on, because the way I controlled fires prior to here was a lot with the door, you know, door spacing, how much I had to open and close. Now there's one setting. It's just all dependent on how big the coal bed there is, depending on the time of the day, the humidity and the heat outside, and just the size fire, amount of logs we have on.
Is the draw different because of the way the room is shaped or because of airflow for coming into the room?
The smokestacks just really draws it hard.
Oh, interesting.
Oh yeah. The 500 gallons, it takes about a third the size fire to produce a 260 degree fire or a 290 degree fire. Like it's hard not
That's
to.
That's great.
Weather, you know, cooking's much, not easier.
It seems like more efficient, I guess. So.
Yeah. And the 1,000 gallons, which people have asked me, reach out all the time about looking to get a 1,000 gallon. What do you think? And yes, the space is good, but as far as efficiency, like fire efficiency and wood and all that, I would rather have 4 500 gallons than 2 1,000s. I say that, but then again, on a nice warm day where there's a lot of, you know, air insulation and all that, it doesn't really matter. But like in the cold winter time, it's hard to heat up. It's hard to keep a 1,000 gallon smoker rolling at 250, 275. It just takes a lot of firepower, you know.
That's interesting. No, I've and there's certain people who live and die by the 1,000. I think the 1,000 is the
it's all subjective. It would just depend on your preferences and the way your pit room's set up and how, you know, a million different elements. But anyways, they do a good job with all of it.
The Nashville Hot Chicken, it's called the Hot Meal. Is that the sandwich? Is it?
Mm-hmm. We just kind of try to relate a lot of our menu items to meal. So, I don't know, we were sitting in a meeting one day and I'm like, we're trying to come up with a name. I'm like, what about the hot meal? Sometimes I come up with randomly get lucky with
it works.
Luckily, that's happened quite a bit. I don't know, the hot meal, and it's been pretty popular, especially that with pimento cheese. That's a good one.
So is that with the Nashville chicken tenders? Is that what it is? Or
yeah, we do tenders. So we had chicken tenders on the menu to begin with, and I've got to say I'm a chicken fried chicken freak, and our outside of Bojangles. Bojangles is out. Y'all probably don't have.
I've heard of it, but I haven't been to one. No.
Yeah, it's like a, you know, it's like a Popeyes, Cane's, more like a Popeyes because they've got, you know, bone-in chicken and every plate comes with biscuit and all that stuff. So it's probably closest in line to a Popeyes, but we don't have them really, really close here, but towards Nashville, they start having them, and I've had their tenders a few times. I really like those. There's a place in town called Blue Oak right down the street. Me and the owner of there are really good friends and talk every night about, okay, how was business tonight? Oh, it was slow. Well, such and such is going on across town. You know, we just check in with one another. They have really good chicken tenders. But anyways, our chicken tenders are really good. Just saying. I get to say that because while I did sort of come up with the batter and all that stuff, which is very random, but I'm not cooking them all the time, so I can talk about them, and they're good. But then our Nashville hot spice on them, and we do the whole oil dredge, you know, the Nashville style, the hot oil, and then re-season them again to make them actually spicy. To me, if you're gonna call a hot chicken sandwich a hot chicken sandwich, it doesn't have to be blow your ears off hot, but it needs to have heat to it, because my pet peeve is people calling stuff, oh, the insanity wing or the atomic bomb wing, and I eat it and I'm like, this is like mild on a good day, you know what I mean? So that's a pet peeve. I'm like, this needs to be hot enough that if you're not a spice fan, you're not going to enjoy it.
And so you can get the tenders two different ways?
Yeah, you can get them just regular, or you can get them Nashville hot. And you can specify with your server. They're supposed to ask kind of how hot do you want it. So sometimes we get light spice, sometimes we get regular, and sometimes we get spicy, spicy, or extra spicy. So we sort of play that, you know, according to what they want.
Well, that leads me to so this is a sit down restaurant. There's no line, right? Do you order at your table or do you order?
During lunch service Wednesday through Friday from 11 until 3, you walk through the door and you order at the counter with a line, okay. And you get placed at a table. You know, you get a table number to go to, and then server or a food runner brings your food. But yeah, it's like a line queue to order. At nighttime, every night, starting at 4, it's sit down just like it would be at any other restaurant. And then on Saturdays, we do full service sit down for brunch, lunch, and dinner.
Okay. All right. So then if you sit, say, during the day when you do line up and you queue up and then go sit down, if you want to order additional food, do you order it through your server or do you have to go back in line? Or
you could, as your runner or somebody coming to check the table, you know, where to come and need a refill or anything like that, you could always, you know, say, hey, can I get an extra half pound of brisket, or can I get another side salad, or, you know, so yeah, you could, depending on how heavy the line is, you could either just jump back in, you know, say there's not much in line, or you could just ask somebody that works here and they'd get you fixed up.
What is Martin like?
Still a small town, but growing ever more beautiful in architecture slash just people renovating the downtown area, restaurants coming. So it's on the rise, I think. But you know, still a small town. Like 10,000, like especially now with college being out, you know, we've lost 5 or 6 or 7 students. So it's a little more dead. You know, it's a nice, I love Martin. I really do.
Are people, if people came in specifically to see you, is there somewhere to stay in town, or is there a town outside of town that you'd recommend? Or
they would likely stay in town. We've got a pretty nice Hampton Inn That's where Brotherton and Beale stay. It's where Carey stayed. It's where most. It's where a lot of the ball. It's right across from the UTM, so the UT Martin baseball and softball fields. It's nice. And then there's some bed and breakfast, you know, Airbnb style stuff going on. About 12 miles north in the direction I'm facing, there's a nice little boutique hotel that I think that's where Daryl Byers that came with Bill and Brenda and John last time. I think that's where him and his wife stayed, or he and his wife. So, you know, there's places within 10 minutes to stay.
Okay. And I know we've said this before, but how far away are you from Memphis and from Nashville?
Memphis is 2 to 2.25 hours west of us, and then Nashville is about 2.5 to 2.25 hours east of us.
So you're kind of like center-ish, like in between.
Yeah, it's geographically we're not in between, but as I-40 runs, gotcha. it kind of like we're only an hour. If you were to be traveling from Nashville to Memphis, we're an hour off the interstate. So my advice is, if you're a barbecue person, I'm sure I'm biased, but I think you should, you know, block out in 2 hours of your time, 3 hours of your time, an hour to get here off the interstate, an hour to be here and eat and experience it and visit, and then, you know, an hour to get back and be on the road. So it's not far off the, you know, far off the beaten path at all.
How far away are you from Scott's, from Zach's?
10, I would say.
Hour 10?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's not bad. So that's you guys are like the two people. I have many friends in Tennessee, but if I was able to go to your place and see Zach, I would be a happy man.
We'd make it worthwhile. And he, we're close. I mean, he and his wife date not here, not often, but I mean, a good bit. And he deer hunts north of us in Kentucky, a good bit, or in Illinois, I'm sorry. And so during early deer season back in the fall, he was stopping through and getting lunch and getting a bunch of brisket. He loves a brisket, and getting stuff to take to deer camp. So I was seeing him quite a bit.
Yeah, no, I love Zach.
No, yeah, he's salt of the earth.
Salt of the earth. Yeah, that's a good way to describe it. Well, so is there anything that people should know that we haven't covered? Is there any restaurant advice or life advice that you've gotten that you want to share? Or like what's a piece of advice that you, because I know that like Carrie came, and is there any type of advice that you have gleaned from your fellow restaurateurs that stuck with you?
I don't know specific. I can't think of anything specific that from another restaurateur. Besides we just talk back and forth, whether it's me and John or me and Jordan Wright or me and Patrick or me and Jim, you name it. And we all just sort of face the same struggles of
meat prices and.
Yep. Jinx, meat prices, emotions. It's all just sort of, if my advice, and I had to give this advice late on Saturday night, talking to a girl that was talking about wanting to maybe open up a microbrewery / restaurant in Nashville. She's like, you know, coming from you, what do you think, being in that position? I'm like, oh, it's worth it if it is what you feel like your life calling it is, but it's not worth it if it's not what you're just eating up with doing. And I am just a restaurant addict, but restaurant fried chicken and pizza. I do eat brisket. I tried it. I went like 3 years without being able to eat brisket. And now I've gotten where I try to enjoy it once every 2 weeks. Just literally just take home like a half pound, 3/4 pound of moist brisket and sit there watching Triple D or something on TV. And eating brisket and mac and cheese, and Brussels sprouts.
What about Sonic? Do you still go to Sonic?
Not so much. It was so convenient. And I mean, I passed by it. It's once again, you know, as I said, just right across the street from the trailer. So right in front of me. But I'll stop and get like a breakfast burrito every once in a while. They're not great, but they're not bad. We've got enough stuff here that I try to sustain. I try to support local, obviously, and
that's very local if you're supporting yourself,
right? But not so much on the Sonic, just out of convenience.
How does your mom feel about all this?
She's good and does a great job. She's a little more of a nervous Nancy than I try to be. I try to stay somewhat cool, calm, and collected. She's a little more emotion on her sleeves, but she cares. That's the bottom line.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that the rest of our management doesn't care like she does, but outside of me, she wants nothing but to see me succeed and this place succeed, you know, through all the hard work. So she works her tail off, works herself too hard, really, you know, gets herself down physically and mentally. But I can't thank her enough for all she does.
And now do you guys have that open every day, or is that something just for special events?
Mostly in event space, Friday and Saturday nights when we get busier, or really all day Saturday, we seat it. It can get us an additional 45 to 50 seats. So whenever there's 90 people lined up at 3:50 p.m. on a Saturday to get in at 4, and that's not every Saturday, but it happens a good bit, we immediately start seating upstairs. So those busy Saturdays, we close from 3 to 4. And at 4, there's been a lot of Saturdays where at 4 o'clock it came from being nobody in here because we were closed to 135 seats filled within 10, 12, 15 minutes, however long it takes everybody in seats. And you're talking about tickets coming in, we got to be on our game. I mean, it's like everybody, you know, get ready, because all of a sudden we come from nothing to 16 smoked cream cheeses, charcuterie boards, which is a sausage with pimento cheese and crackers, deviled eggs. I don't know what else I've already said, but, you know, just
random, like it's like battle.
Very fast.
What would you recommend? What time would you recommend people coming during the week and then on Saturday?
Well, I mean, you can get the menu all day. We pretty much we'll start running out of ribs and maybe brisket in the last 30 minutes of service on a maybe, because we have ways to use leftover, whether it's chopped up in beans or whatever it is. But, you know, you can get the menu all day. You're going to be better. You're going to have better luck getting set and getting food, you know, great service at not peak time, which as weather's warming up and the sun's going down later, our dinner rush has moved from, you know, 5:45 to 7, more to like a 7-8. You know, people are just getting out later with the sun going down later. But it's mostly any time. I mean, obviously 7:15 on a Saturday night is going to be about not the worst time to come. But if you're a real antsy and just, you know, want to get fed and want, you know, don't want to have to wait, that's going to be your least good time to come.
Getting people though, like on a, because recently you've shown some photos of some pretty good lines. Are people lining up on a Saturday morning at 7-8, or is it more like a 9-10?
No, we open at 10 for brunch on Saturday, and we'll start having people, and almost every day the first people in line are getting here anywhere from, you know, 30 minutes before we open.
Okay.
50. But no, you wouldn't have to, you don't have to get here super early like that. No.
Okay, that's good. That's really good to know. Well, yeah. I'm so happy for you. Obviously, I want to visit as soon as I can, but I thank you for taking the time, because I know like your time is more valuable now than it ever has been, and you're running at 6,000 miles an hour. So thank you for sharing this. And I just wanted to get people, you know, up to speed, because they've seen probably a lot of photos and different things, but you and I haven't chatted in about a year, so it's
appreciate you reaching out to do it again. Yes, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care. Bye. Appreciate you.